our legal eagle, Alam, Peter Alam from Alam's Attorneys, and we're talking about access to children. And Peter, very good morning. It looks like it's going to be a pretty good Monday morning.
Yeah, the weather looks good, although they say rain is coming again. But yeah, morning to all our listeners out there, wherever you are, all over the world. As I say, I discovered that we have people listening all over. We're going to chat about access to children this morning. You know, what made me chat on the subject is that I came across a lovely little sentence the other day from Judge Eckstein, local judge in the High Court here, who said that grandparents, like heroes, are a necessary ingredient to a child's growth as vitamins, which is so true. And I think that doesn't only apply to grandparents. I think that applies to parents and other siblings and things like that as well, is that, you know, your children need that important vitamin in growing up. You know, so often I come across it in our field here. In fact, I'm going to say daily I come across it, where parents and family use children like yo-yos. You know, they move from one parent to the other parent. They move from a grandparent to another grandparent. You know, you get people that, I'm not going to say they're tired of their children, they can't afford their children, that are battling, that need help, and the children get moved around, which is so sad. You know, when you're elected to bring kids into the world, look after them. And most important, and I think that my biggest thing in life, in all the years I've been around, what I hate most is parents who poison their children against the other parent. Right, you know, you only have one mother and one father. And, you know, because the two of you don't make it in life, and you have an irretrievable breakdown of your marriage or separation of your relationship, don't start poisoning the kids. You say that mom or dad is bad. Don't play the one parent off against the other. I mean, I've got cases where they're grown-up kids that are now well into their 40s who have been poisoned by their mother very sadly and have no contact with their father at all. It's, to me, that is shocking, you know. As I say, the Eastern High Court sitting, Judge Eckstein, said in a matter where the mother had sadly passed away and there was no marriage between them, and the children are now being sent by the welfare to the paternal father, and he in turn refused to let the granny and grandpa from the mother's side see the children. They challenged it. It was in court recently, and he noted that the children had a good relationship with their grandparents, had that relationship before the mother had passed on, and for that reason made an order that they will see the grandparents. He did note, however, though, that there seemed to be friction between the two parties, that's the grandparents and the father, and that they maybe have not seen the grandparents for a little while because they've been kept away. So, you know, he also said over there that it needs to be a slow introduction back to the children. He left that in the capable hands of the welfare to sort out. You know, the father wanted the visitation to take place at a police station or under supervision, and he said no. He said this is not something that you take kids to a police station
to meet their grandparents.
You know, it's inappropriate. The emotional and psychological well-being of the children must be looked after as well. Imagine that you're going to let access take place, but you're going to do it at a police station. I mean, what on earth are those poor little kids going to think? So, you know, that's just the one important decision from Judge Eckstein, and it's a High Court local one. Grandparents, therefore, definitely have rights in South Africa. There's no written law, but the Children's Act allows for the well-being, development, and right to see them. You know, the two main sections in the Children's Act that they can utilize, Section 28, addresses allocating minor children's care and contact to an involved party such as grandparents. And then, of course, Section 24 pertains to the designation of guardianship. Guardianship can be given to a grandparent as well. So those two sections, Section 23 and 24 of the Children's Act, are very important. And what will happen is that the court will take into account and assess the position together with proper evaluations from the family advocate or from the welfare, which points out on the best interests of the minor children, the relationship between, be it the grandparents or be it the a sister or something like that, any other relevant person, the relationship between the children and that party will come into play. The degree of commitment shown by the other party or grandparents as well will play a role. And then, there's also the financial a requirement that takes place, the contribution that grandparents or sisters or brothers or guardian makes. Any factor, in fact, that the court deems appropriate will be considered when taking into account Section 23 or 24, which is the right way to go about it. You have these days as well litigation versus mediation when it comes to access to children and guardianship of children and that. They're two different ways of doing it. Litigation, the more expensive. Mediation, probably a lot easier, where you've got a mediator that hears the stories of all the parties concerned, makes a recommendation, cannot make it an order of court. And if the parties agree on it, then it can become an order in court of court. I hear a lot of people say, I'm not letting the child have access to the parents or the grandparents because no maintenance is paid. Please, out there, listeners, don't start with money versus children. It's so sad. The children are not, they're not a money. Yes, they need money to live. But if you've got somebody that just cannot afford it or something, or somebody that contributes and maybe in your eyes not enough, don't then use the children as a tool to prevent that from taking place. And very interesting in our law is the fact that if the father or the mother is not paying maintenance, you have a right to go to the grandparents. But unfortunately, remember, it's not just the one side grandparents, it's both grandparents. Mm. So if you're going to attack the grandparents on the father's side, for example, make sure that you're aware that your own parents, who are grandparents as well, can also be taken into account in determining a maintenance contribution for them. That's where you are there. The children's back, our best interest is always what the court and what everybody will take into account. A lot of people come along and say, the father's a criminal, he's in and out of jail, he's got no job, he's a druggie, he's an alcoholic, they throw the whole book at the people. Yes, the court will do a thorough examination of that. So if indeed you are that bad, rotten parent or grandparent or whatever, and the possibility exists that you will not get access to the children because the children's best interest cannot be looked after if you do not behave yourself. So my advice out there to, be it a mother or a father, in the old days, children always used to go to the mother. I think it was blindfolded in our courts that happened. But these days, a mother or a father can have custody and access to children. The children, you get joint parental as well these days, where the children live 3 days with one parent, 4 days with the other, or midweek with the one, weekends with the other. So the best interests of the children is really developed well. And, the court will uphold a decision recommended by welfare or the family advocate very, very strongly. They won't ignore that. Mm-hmm. If there is something that comes, and you cannot do a divorce without the family advocate's ruling or guidance on children, and that's very important, that it takes place. The courts are full of cases with different things like that. If I ask different questions, I've just mentioned, grandparents wanting access, you got the latest decision there from Judge Eckstein. You got other ones with maternal grandparents were granted custody, paternal grandparents. you know, so you've got to be careful there.
Mm.
And like I mentioned, the two sections of the Act, Section 23 and 24, that the court will consider when awarding children to someone other than the natural mother or father, one must also remember that it's also a situation where if the mother and father are both baddies and not bringing up the children correctly, the grandparents have a right to bring an application to remove those children, to take those children under their care. So be careful as well as a bad parent, you know. I always say to parents when they come in and they say, oh, we just cannot afford our children anymore. And they're tearful and they cry. And, you know, they say, what do we do to try and give the children a better life, better living condition and that type of thing? You know, there are ways and means of doing that. If you ask for help, you will get help.
Mm.
So often people are too proud to admit that there's a problem, that they cannot feed properly, cannot dress properly, cannot school properly. You know, those are all the ingredients that the children need in growing up, not to forget the little love and care, tender love and care that's necessary as well. A very big ingredient is that.
Mm.
So, you know, often you find happy children with their parents, but the parents are really battling and cannot afford it. In the old days, there was a lot of adoption and things like that. It still takes place. There's still a lot of children that I know that are grown up with sisters or brothers or, in, you know, not with their true parents, not knowing who their true parents are. And I also say as well to people, if indeed you've had a child out of wedlock and you've given it to your sister or your brother or your parents to raise, don't forget to tell the child what has happened. You know, sooner or later, someone's going to say, oh, Jack, that's old Susan's sister's child that Susan brought up, you know. You need to be careful of that as well. You don't need to hurt a child. Sit down and tell them what the true facts are, and it makes it a lot easier, a lot easier. You know, it goes on and on and on. With access, it's a very important thing. When we get back just to the simple divorce and access, you know, don't fight over a parent that's supposed to bring the children home at 5 o'clock on a Sunday and he brings them home at half past five, six. If it's a regular thing, you need to address it. If it's a one-off and there's a reason, you know, do it in a way that doesn't cause friction between you know, your ex and yourself and the children concerned. You don't want children taking sides. I mean, you know, I had one the other day where the children were at a birthday party on a Saturday. They were supposed to be home at 3 o'clock because the other parent was going somewhere with the child. And the guy phoned and said, look, the kids are at a birthday party. They're enjoying themselves. They've asked if they can stay. The party's going to finish at 5:00. And the woman went off her head and then refused to allow him access after that. You know, she said, you messed up my whole day. I had plans for the children when they came out. You know, be reasonable. That's what I'm putting across to people out here today is, you know, don't fight over something like that. Often kids go somewhere and are having more fun and enjoyment and want to stay a little bit longer. If that happens and it's once in a while, you know, accept it. Don't get to the strict, you pick up the children at 7 o'clock. If you're not here by 7:15, the front door is locked and the gate is locked and you can't take the children.
Right.
You know, don't come with, you know, you must bring the children home at 3 o'clock and at 2:50 you start phoning, where are you? You know, are you on your way? What is the position? That's not necessary. You know, they, like I said right in the beginning, they're not yo-yos that go up and down. You know, they're your children. They come, they're born from parents, and I'm pretty sure that in most instances the parents, you know, love and adore, and children, they love and adore the children, and they're happy to spend time with them. Of course, you get the bad side as well. You get good mothers or good fathers who insist that the other parent take the children, and they don't enjoy taking the parent. You know, we see that so often where, you know, the husband or the ex-husband has met another lady with her own kids, and all of a sudden, you know, the new girlfriend doesn't like your kids and wants you to spend more time with her kids than your kids. That's a very sad situation as well. But I have so many friends where the kids just interlink and become like brothers and sisters, even though they're not blood related. But, you know, where the father's found a new girlfriend and lives with a new girlfriend, and they, you know, their kids there. I mean, in fact, I've seen so many instances where the girlfriend, you know, absolutely adores the children and looks after them as if they were their own. And that always gives me a lot of joy. When I see things like that, when you see grandparents with the kids. I mean, I know what it's like to have kids far away. My grandkids are far away. But when you see them, you just want to be with them. And that's what it should be all about. You know, children, they need you. I mean, I love Judge Eckstein's thing to say, you know, that a child's growth, it's a vitamin that, you know, forms part of the child's growth. In other words, it's a very necessary ingredient for the upbringing of children.
That's basically where we are today, Wayne, with that topic. And you know, you just mentioned your, you know, where you've got the kids mixing with the other person's kids. I mean, that could potentially also be a tricky scenario, which hopefully, you know, kids are pretty adaptable, and, you know, they generally make friends easily and adapt to situations. But obviously that would be another very tricky dynamic to play through, especially if, for instance, the kids don't get on. Or, like you mentioned, something, and hopefully it doesn't happen too often, where kids have been poisoned. So, you know, they almost come into a new scenario with preconceived ideas that have been planted in them, and that also could, I mean, there are so many dynamics that play out.
Absolutely. I mean, you just mentioned one over there now where the kids don't get on. That so often happens where the two sets of kids don't get on, and that's because of the way, in my opinion, that they're introduced to each other. They're not introduced friends. You know, you need to sit them down and say, you know, Daddy and Mommy didn't make it. I've got a new girlfriend. The new girlfriend's got two kids. I want you to meet them. I want you to become friends with them. It's the way you address it. And of course, the other thing as well is that so often the kids are poisoned. Your dad doesn't love me anymore. He's got a new girlfriend. And you know what? The new girlfriend's got two kids, and the new girlfriend's kids are the apple of your dad's eye. So be careful where you go. Not necessarily, you know, it's really not on that, you know, and it shouldn't be like that. But unfortunately, affairs cause problems, you know, other out of, how can I say, you often get families where the children are poisoned about, you know, the new girlfriend, the new children on the other side. You know, you also get situations, make sure that if you're going to introduce your kids into a new girlfriend's family and that you do it correctly. You know, don't start every time, you know, on a Sunday we go for lunch with my new girlfriend's parents, and every Sunday you go there for lunch and you take your kids with because you've got custody over the weekend. Be careful of that as well. You need to make sure that your children are happy. You should be able to sit down with your children and say, are you happy? In fact, I know of a parent who sat down and spoke to the child, and the child was not happy. So what he did is that he made sure that he took his child and spent special time with her.
Yes.
And then he came to me because he found it a bit of a problem. And I said to him, you know what? Stay as you are and slowly introduce her into the family, which he did.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy to say, this was quite some years back that this happened, is that the child is now, I think she's about 21, 22, but she's at absolutely comfortable with the, well, not the new girlfriend because they've never married, but the girlfriend is there.
Yeah.
And the joy that I get when I see them out, you know, I can see them socializing, and the daughter will be with the girlfriend, quite happy, you know, having fun. But in the beginning, that child did not want to go to that. It was a problem for him, you know. He didn't know what to do. But it's all about the way you negotiate.
And introduce
and introduce
and
them.
Do the introduction.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, very, very tricky. And you know, you at the end of the day, Just a closing comment and question, if I may, that, you know, Peter, as a lawyer, as an attorney, you know, you obviously look at things, you're trained to look at things in black and white because the law is the law and that's what the law says. But when it comes to these types of issues, you've obviously got the scenario where you apply the law because that's, you know, there are specific guidelines, but at the end of the day, you are dealing with people. So, you know, you've got to kind of find that compromise and that sweet spot in between what the law says and what people need.
Absolutely. You're right. There's a happy medium, of course, between the law and reality, as I call it. You know, and I get so many new attorneys that come in and say, the law says, and they forget about the emotional side. They forget about, you know, and that's where, you know, they just don't make it. I'm happy to say, yeah, at Alums, that we, you know, we're a family firm. We know what it's like with families. We know how to deal with that. If you come here, you're not going to, I mean, you know, just with divorces, for example, when people come in with divorces, you know, we really ask them, you know, are you sure this is the right decision? Have you been for counseling? Have you chatted about it? What is the problem? You know, it's not just a case of, well, can I make money now? Comes a new divorce, give us a nice fat deposit and let's fight on and see which attorney's on the other side where we can make money.
Yeah.
I mean, over the years, I've been accused by so many attorneys of saying, you've cut off my water supply. You know, you've sorted out the settlement.
Yeah.
What are you poking your nose in for? But I get a lot of joy when I do that, to see that people are not wasting money and that I've, you know, happened to sort it out. I mean,
and they walk away happy and friends afterwards.
That people that were neighbors of ours near the offices where we were, and they just popped, one of them popped in to say hello to me, and passing by and just said, this is what's happening. And I said, no, man. I said, why don't the two of you, have you got together and chatted? And he said, well, we work together, but, you know, we've never chatted. So the two of them popped in, and within half an hour, I had a settlement on something that had been going on for 3-4 years with two firms of attorneys. You know, and it's not a case of getting joy out of that, but the point is, you know, have a look and see what you can do. In my opinion, and me personally, it's not about the joy I get with a divorce is being able to reach an amicable settlement where there's happiness between the parties, that they've realized that, you know, there's not a right and a wrong. You both got to look in the mirror and say, what went wrong? You know, don't say that my husband had an affair and that's the end of it. Have a look at yourself to say, why did he have an affair? What did you do wrong that made him go out, that he wasn't happy at home? You know, it's like I always say, as well, if marriage is in a marriage, if you don't argue and you don't sort it out, you don't have a marriage. You know, if you just say, yes, no, you're right, yes, no, you're right, too scared to say anything in case you get hoofed out.
Yeah,
you're wrong. You know, stand up for what your values are and sort it out. And of course, my main ingredient always is the children.
Right.
I always have such a soft spot and a feeling for children and always want to see that they have and get the very best out of their parents.
And have a happy childhood, which I think at the end of the day is most important. Well, Peter, thank you very, very much for that. We're running out of time, but lastly, how does somebody get in touch?
Okay, they can find us at 6 Sansom Road in Berea. It's a little side street where Pep Stores is. Number 6, second house on the right-hand side when you come down that street. Telephone 043-7211-018. Or you can like us on Facebook. Just add a S to Alums, and you'll find all the details. You'll find us on Wild Coast FM as well. Details are there.
Radio.
The chats are loaded every day by both of us. Yeah.
Well, Peter, thank you very, very much, and have a great week, and we'll chat again next week, Monday.
Thank you.
Cheers then.
Thanks a lot.
That's Peter Alum with today's Legal Eagle chat, and thanks to Peter for that very interesting topic, emotional and very, very important to be handled correctly, access to children.